getting to know more about God and His Word, and meeting some interesting people along the way. This is the Ben Everson Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. So glad to have you along with us today. I am coming to you from the third floor of a Hampton Inn & Suites. And today I have the privilege of sitting down with Pastor Jonathan Arnold, all the way from across the pond, from Westminster. Thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
We are brought together by a conference here, actually, the Mount of Byram Baptist Mission Conference held in Fort Worth, Texas at the Worth Baptist Church. And it's been a wonderful conference, wonderful week. And at lunch, I think we met.
Yep.
And just struck up conversation. And I thought it would be wonderful to be able to introduce Brother Jonathan to our listeners here on the podcast. And the first question I have for you is, are American accents weird? That's a horrible question to ask.
I think all accents are weird if it's not your
good answer. Good answer. Yeah. Do you find that a lot of people, when you come to the States, like your accent or comment on it?
They can do, yeah. My accent isn't as refined as some other people in the UK, but yeah, sometimes.
People try to figure out where you're from?
Yeah, where I'm from. Someone thought I was South African. I've had someone on the subway in Chicago ask me if I'm related to the Queen, so... That was interesting.
That's the type of question you'd get from a subway in Chicago, probably.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Westminster Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your church.
So Westminster Baptist Church has been there for around 200 plus years.
Wow.
It started really from a group who felt strongly in that particular area and formed a Baptist church. It is... Now the only, the oldest free church in the area that's still open and still operating, and really trying to reach the people of Westminster with the gospel.
Amen. Amen.
It's an area of real contrast. So you have very wealthy people in new apartment blocks, and just hidden away behind the office blocks, you have government-provided housing.
Sure.
People who are very poor or destitute, and so you have those two contrasts in the area, which is a blessing, but also can be challenging as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
For a lot of our American listeners, they won't know what you're talking about when you talk about a free church.
Yeah.
Would you mind just letting them know what you mean by that?
Sure. So, the established church in the United Kingdom is the Anglican Church, or the Church of England, as we would call it. It goes way back to the 17th century, during a period of time, some of you will know, in Cromwell's era, there was many different independent churches, and that's where people started to deviate more from the Church of England. Then the monarchy was restored in 1661 with King Charles II, and he then shortly brought in a law that in effect outlawed you not being part of the established church.
Right.
So if you weren't,
enough of this nonsense, basically. Yeah.
If you weren't part of the Church of England, you couldn't hold certain government offices. You couldn't. Later on, he brought in a Conventicle Act, so you couldn't meet with more than five people. They had the 5 Mile Act, so they kicked out a load of ministers who refused to take an oath and to just comply with the Anglican Articles. And then they created a 5 Mile exclusion zone around their old congregations, so they couldn't go there and preach to them.
Wow.
Unless they drag them away from the established church. So then you had a group called dissenters who were made up of Baptists and other groups as well, and they formed the basis of free churches that aren't part of a wider sort of government structure.
So our equivalent to that, kind of, in a way, would be independent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a term that we're going to be familiar with here in the United States. I'm fascinated in many ways by how God works differently and yet the same in different cultures and places and such. So I was looking on your website and I saw something really unique, and that is the lunch hour on, is it Thursdays?
Thursday lunchtime,
Thursday lunchtime. Tell us about that.
So we're in an area where there are many office workers, and these office workers obviously commute. We have many, many people commuting into London for work and other things. So for many years, we've had a lunchtime service, which it just lasts for half an hour, a gospel service for the office workers as they walk by. We're on one of the main roads in that area, so if you go to get your lunch, you have to walk past the church,
and wonderful.
So it provides a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel. As I've mentioned, my own father became aware of the Baptist Church through this lunch hour service. He was a postman. He was walking by, and he walked in and heard the ministry. He was going to an Anglican church at the time, and he said, I've never heard ministry like this, so based on the word of God, and I want to hear more. And so he started going there, and and so that particular service has in some ways a unique role in the church.
Yes,
it can be quite a different congregation even to ones that we'd have on the Lord's Day, because it's workers who are nearby. Sometimes people who even go to other churches can come along, and it's been a real blessing to us.
Well, that's really, I find that a special place in my heart. My own grandmother, who was raised very staunch Roman Catholic, on the way, she told me before she passed, on the way to her, I believe it was her school, in between the house and the school was a little storefront Baptist church. And on Wednesday night, she would sneak. And she would go, there, and so she would. She knew a lot of the hymns and such. Of course, Catholic churches in English-speaking countries can look more Protestant sometimes. So sometimes they even involve some of the same hymns.
Yeah.
But I have a special place in my heart for places that will look for churches that will look for unique ways of ministry and reaching people otherwise they wouldn't.
Yeah.
And you've got sandwiches or something going
there too, right? Yeah, we provide sandwiches afterwards. So, you know, there's no excuse. You
That's
don't
right.
need to say, I'll miss my food if I come along.
That's right.
We'll provide it for you. So,
that's right.
Yeah, that's been a real blessing to us.
Well, if you're joining us, we are with Pastor Jonathan Arnold and across the pond. And maybe I shouldn't say it that way, but I heard someone say it that way years ago, and it stuck with me. But from London, from Westminster, and after the break, I'm going to ask him some tough questions. In fact, we'll give you a little teaser here. I thought no one in London was interested in the Word of God anymore. That's what some people think. We'll ask what he thinks about that when we come back from the break. I'm sitting here with Pastor Jonathan Arnold of the Westminster Baptist Church. And by the way, it's Westminster, folks, not minister. It's not Westminster, right? It's Westminster.
That's right.
And so we've got to get that right, okay, Americans, all right? But anyway, it's just a good time of fellowship. And if people want to find out more about your church, you have a website. Where can they go?
So our website is www.westminsterbaptistchurch.co.uk.
Wonderful.
And you can look us up there. If anyone's visiting London, they're welcome to pop in and say hello to us as well.
Oh, wonderful.
Good to see you.
I know there was an article that was particularly, I'm going to use the word fair, because to the Anabaptist history.
Right.
And because some people have a tendency to love everything about the Anabaptists on one hand, or to just completely dismiss them all out of hand because of the behavior of a few peripheral.
Right.
And that was I liked that article. I don't know when you put that up, but
yeah, not too long ago. It's interesting to look at their history, and as I mentioned to you earlier, I like the sense that they seem to have taken some of them took the Reformation further.
Right.
Some people stopped, but some were able to come out from the clutches of other influences.
And, yes.
It's a sometimes neglected subject because of the some of the peculiar characters you get there, but to read of those who were baptizing professing believers is a wonderful thing.
Yes. Yeah. Of course, it's hard to write and it's hard to not be a little eccentric when people are hunting you down to kill you, right? And all the stories in history are written by the critics.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal. Well, to the question, mm-hmm. I know a lot of Americans have the idea that London basically is a lost cause. It's given over to humanism, secularism, even in many places in the UK. I mean, we're talking about just kind of an idea that we wouldn't say it this way, but maybe people just aren't interested in the Word of God anymore. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I think... So with regard to London, I was reading some figures not too long ago where it's one of the few places where church attendance has actually increased a little.
Interesting.
But that would, of course, measure all sorts of churches.
Right.
And I think more generally in the United Kingdom, we maybe are a little further down the road from the USA in terms of the influence of secularism and other things. We're feeling more of the pressure. Some of the preachers or evangelists in the open air are particularly feeling the heat from overzealous police officers and wow. that sort of thing. So it's quite tough for them. But I think there's still a great interest. It is very much a tremendous mission field, and there's a great need in the United Kingdom. There, in London, you have so many people coming from all over the world. You have a mission field on your doorstep. Mm. When we go out to evangelize, you really don't quite know which country a person you may come across. You know, from the Middle East to Africa to parts of Asia. You know, and that can be challenging, but a great blessing that. On occasion, someone's come up to us, they've just got off a plane, and we're the first Christian they've ever met in their life.
Wow.
And they want to know more, and it provides us an opportunity to share the gospel with them, and that can be so encouraging. Even countries where there's persecution in Iran, we've seen in the UK great interest from Iranians who have fled to the UK.
Wow. We hear over here, again, correct me if I'm wrong, but a great rise in the presence of Islam right. in London, etc. Is that accurate?
I think that's accurate. I would say in London and the major cities,
okay.
that's accurate. It's not quite as pervasive across the whole of the United Kingdom.
Do you rub shoulders or have contact with Muslims?
Yeah, indeed. We when we evangelize, we come across Muslims, and ironically, we're able to tell them the gospel more easily than some of the folks. Had someone come up to me who I offered a tract and say, "Don't give me a tract, I'm a fully paid up member of the church," and they mean the Church of England, so they pay whatever, and that makes them
they're a fully okay. paid up member. How about that?
Yeah, so yeah, we do. There's a challenge going on at the moment in the public arena between the secularists and the Muslims. The secularists for some time have been happy to sort of accept the Muslim presence in some ways because the Christian presence is being diluted.
Right.
But now, as the voice becomes louder, the secularists are getting worried about it.
Right.
So yeah, you may have heard of a well-known place called Hyde Park Corner. Mm-hmm. It's a place that's well-known for public speaking, but now it is immensely difficult for Christians to go there and preach. You will be swamped with Muslims who
really?
Want to
just shout
question
you down.
You know, yeah. I know brothers, converted Muslims who have been attacked because they've gone there and
physically
said,
attacked.
Yeah. Because they've said that they've been converted, and you know that's shocking to them. So it's there's a rising population in London, I would say, in some of the other major cities as well. And so it's a real challenge because it brings some aspects to society even that change the values that, and the sort of Christian background that we maybe take for granted.
That's sobering. It really is, and I appreciate you giving us a little bit of that picture. I do want to ask you about your opportunity to sit under Dr. Peter Masters, there at the Metropolitan Tabernacle. If you're not familiar with that title or that name, that's where Spurgeon was years ago. The Metropolitan Tabernacle, and Dr. Peter Masters has been the pastor there for, I don't know how many years, about 200. That wouldn't work.
Many
but,
years.
Tell us about your experience there.
So, I attended the London. They have a seminary there. It used to be one that's in person. That's the one that I attended. And I was there for about 4 or 5 years. And it was a great blessing to me. It was very helpful instruction for preaching and for work in the ministry while I was preaching and learning alongside the minister I was under. And so I found that really, really, really helpful. And the church I'm pastor of has a sort of historic connection to the Metropolitan Tabernacle. In the 1800s, it almost closed down, and Spurgeon stepped in at the time and took over responsibility for the church. And put in one of his preachers.
How about that?
So the church is there, still there today in the Lord's goodness through a little part that Spurgeon had to play.
Well, that's kind of exciting, a little connection there like that. That's really
So we have that connection, and it's been a great blessing to sit under the teaching there. And the great zeal. They have a great zeal for Sunday schools as well, which has been really interesting, because in the UK, in many places, in many churches, there's sort of a dwindling children's work.
Right.
But if you were to go to that church on the Lord's Day, you'd see hundreds and hundreds of children.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing.
That are being brought in the Sunday afternoon. And it really is so encouraging, because many people would tell us, what you have to say isn't of any interest to the younger generation. It's of no relevance.
Right.
When it is absolutely the most vital thing they need to hear. And it's a great encouragement to see that work.
So many people were saved as children, and what a critical age.
Yeah.
I came across an article by Dr. Masters a number of years ago now, but entitled "The Merger of Calvinism with Worldliness."
Right.
And you can Google that if you want to. It comes right up on Google. Just a fantastic article. Of course, Dr. Masters would be more on the reform side of things, whereas I would not be. But that's okay. He's a godly man and brother in Christ, and I really like that article, because he was pointing out, and chime in if you want to help me describe it, but really it's pointing out carnality masquerading as spirituality.
Right. Yeah, and he's written on similar themes as well, where people purport or claim to hold a high view of Scripture and other things like that, and yet their life is so contrary to it.
Right.
They want to bring in things from the world, maybe to make things more palatable, but ultimately it ends up marring the witness of the church and even individually. So, it's a very helpful article.
Well, something that I don't consider myself an Arminian either, but something that you would have a John Wesley and a George Whitfield and a Jonathan Edwards all agreeing on is holiness of life.
Right.
And yet we have people from lots of different theological persuasions seeming to want to justify being able to live however you want. It's like they never read Romans 6.
Right.
And this is not supposed to be a preaching podcast. Sorry about that. But last question for you. What is the biggest challenge that you face right now that listeners can pray for you about, whether just you or the church or the ministry there?
I think the biggest challenge we have is laborers. Is a big, big challenge. Laborers with the maturity to serve in the church. It's a great problem. I think especially in the United Kingdom, there's also a lack of preachers. There are churches that don't have a minister, and they're trying to find someone who's faithful, and they don't want to pick the wrong person. So it's a real challenge for them. There are empty churches. There's a chap in Wales. There's an article online. He's bought many churches because he didn't want them to be sold off and made into homes. So when the Lord supplies someone, he'll reopen them and so they can carry on. But the great need in the UK is labourers, and to really pray. There are so many people who are comfortable in their circumstance, and yet they have no consideration of God. They have enough. They don't feel threatened by the world's circumstance. They don't feel there's a danger of war or whatever. They feel they've got enough money and funds in their pocket, and so turn up their nose. They don't want to think about their own sin or eternity. I think those aspects would be high in my mind at least.
Oh, absolutely. Even now, as we close this podcast, don't close your eyes if you're driving, but pray for the Westminster Baptist Church and Brother Arnold and the congregation there, brothers and sisters in Christ, faithfully serving in what can be a difficult place. Even though I think back of all the history I've learned and so many great preachers from England and other parts of what is now the UK, right. and to hear there's a dearth and a famine of preachers is just that's grieving, really, in many respects.
Well, you think of you may have heard of a chap called Campbell Morgan.
Oh, absolutely.
From years ago. Yeah. He preached at Westminster for our 150th anniversary.
How about that?
And he was just down the road from us and a man of great influence. But we pray the Lord would send men with that burden once again.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us. And as always, may the Lord bless you and be ready to hear our next podcast. Thanks so much. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. It's a privilege.
Ta-da. Hey, that's great.
Is that okay?
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Thanks for joining us on the Ben Everson Podcast. Learn more at beneverson.com.